Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, so all that we have invested, we lay all on the line tonight. For us, together, for each other, all right? The journey starts tonight.
We'll try to tie this game.
He wants to do something!
It is Super Bowl 46.
This is our moment. Let's take this and roll with it.
Super Bowl 46 is underway.
Here in the early going, the Giants dominating the line of scrimmage. That's Tom Coughlin style.
Throws one. Up, touchdown, Giants. Victor Cruz on the slam.
That's a heck of a throw and a heck of a catch by Mario Manningham.
It's given the Giants the lead, but it was an almost reluctant touchdown by Bradshaw. And now the Super Bowl is going to come down to a Hail Mary. Brady, he is one. The jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over. Finished is what Tom Coughlin said, and Eli Manning and the Giants have finished off the Patriots in the Super Bowl for the second time in 4 years.
Welcome in. The fastest 60 minutes in sports in your afternoon edition. Wherever you are, six minutes past the hour, midway through your NFL day, 619-639-747. There are some quirks going on in the league right now, in case you haven't been paying attention. We're going to touch on your college football. We're going to certainly spend a lot of time on your NFL in the middle of your day. If you don't have NFL Red Zone, you may want to consider getting that. That's really, really a lot of fun. Kind of just keeps you up on to date on what's going on around the league, around the any team that's in scoring position. Just keeps you in the know of what's going on. So, fun stuff in college football yesterday, where one and two go down. Also, George St. Pierre, a little USC match that was highly touted last night. Colts-Patriots used to mean something really, really special back in the day. Today, well, you still got Brady there, but of course it's Andrew Luck now instead of Peyton Manning on that. All this and more as the fastest 60 minutes gets rocking and rolling. Let's get into, well, there's not much to talk about in terms of baseball. R.A. Dickey and Miguel Cabrera making a little bit of history there. That's it for baseball. Let's talk a little bit of the NBA for those of you who are remotely concerned. There apparently are some great folks in the NBA. I'd say as we kind of rush through some of these subordinate situations today, none of us are really too terribly concerned about what's going on. It's early in the season in the NBA. The Lakers seem to are starting to feel a little bit better about themselves. Boston looks like Boston. Grizzlies playing better, and LA Clippers look like they really, really could be something special. And if Blake Griffin get that jump shot together. Last night's scores, the Knicks continue to roll, 88-76 over the Pacers. Toronto, 97-86 over Orlando. Games tonight, Cleveland and Philly, 6 p.m. Eastern on NBA TV. Brooklyn plays Sacramento tonight as well. Golden State, OKC, get it on later on. Boston, Detroit later tonight. Chicago, Portland, about 9 o'clock in the East Coast, 8 o'clock Central. As the Bulls struggling now, of course, without Derrick Rose. Houston and L.A. also tonight for your NBA fans. That's going to be it. There's nothing really else to spend a lot of time on where NBA concerns early in the season and not a lot of great stories just yet. Yeah, the story yesterday certainly was college football. And if you weren't paying attention for whatever reason, you woke up maybe after a nap and realized that number one Kansas State had been beaten. Also then, number two, Oregon falls. And what does this mean? Well, let's run down your top 25 and get you all caught up. So, number 25, Washington gets it done against Colorado, but then everyone else does, 38-3. That's bad, I'm sorry. Forgive me for that. Oklahoma State takes out Texas Tech University, 59-21. That was 24 versus 23. Number 22, Rutgers, a 10-3 win over Cincinnati. Number 21, Michigan, 42-17 over Iowa. Louisiana Tech loses to USU 48-41 in a shootout. 18-17, USC, UCLA. UCLA gets that win 38-28 over Matt Barkley. Matt Barkley hurt in that game. Oregon State rolls over Cal 62-14. Number 14, Nebraska, 38-15 over Minnesota. Number 12, Oklahoma ekes out a win over West Virginia 50-49. Clemson, and again, there was a lot of offense yesterday, 62-48 over NC State. FSU, number 10 in the nation, 41-14 over Maryland. Number 9, South Carolina, 24-7 winner. Texas A&M, 47-28 winner. Number 7, LSU, 41-35 over Mississippi. Number 6, Florida, 23-0 shutout. Number 5, Georgia, 45-14, also getting it done. Number 4, Alabama, rolls at 49-0 in a shutout. Notre Dame, soon to be now your next number 1, rolls Wake Forest 38-0. So, what does that mean? Now, if you hear me say it, that means that Stanford, number 13, upsets number 2, Oregon, 17-14. And number 1, Kansas State just lays down against Baylor. Baylor puts up 52 on Kansas State. Yeah, go figure that let down. No one saw that coming. So what does this mean for college football? Well, ultimately, it means that Notre Dame is going to be your new number one. And it also means that the great argument now that Alabama is your number two. So 1 week out of the picture, 1 week removed from falling, Alabama's back number two. What does this mean for a team like Georgia who continues to roll? Well, it kind of means you're the what's the word I'm looking for? Bastard child to some degree, maybe. I'm saying, don't take me wrong. Don't get me twisted. I'm just saying. What does that mean for a team like Georgia? You look at the rankings as they went in. Let's see. Let's take a deeper dive into this. Kansas State, Oregon fall. Notre Dame wins. Alabama wins. One team lost. Georgia wins. Florida wins. It might do better league-wise if we actually understood and knew what it meant to be an undefeated team. Okay? Now, this is why the coaches poll is already out. It is already out. Notre Dame number one, Alabama number two. You kind of saw that coming. Georgia's number three, Oregon falls to number four, Florida State to number five, Florida 10-1, number six. Your first two-loss team is LSU there at number seven. Notre Dame, when was the last time Notre Dame set number one in the nation? That's the coaches poll right now, today. Number one, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, followed by Alabama. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to set up, providing everything holds serve, an absolute amazing national title game. That's not an indictment of Kansas State. Kansas State literally laid an absolute egg. They were 10-0. Now they're 10-1. They go from one all the way to number eight. Why? Because Baylor is such a that's just the wrong team to up deep point to. That's all there is to. So if you're a Notre Dame head, you gotta love this. You're 11-0. Now you're in line, not only for a chance at the national title, because again, prior to those two laying in eggs, you were gonna be the outside kid looking in the window. But now you're in the driver's seat, you're Notre Dame. You are absolutely in the driver's seat. You are in the catbird seat. And the only problem you're going to have at this point is facing a very good Alabama team who realizes that they let one slip away and it was one loss. Going to be fun next coming weeks in college football. 13 past your hour. Crazy, crazy days in the National Football League. We're still going to do your Stone Cold Lead Pipe locks, even though the games are in progress. Maybe you can have some fun comparing what the prognosticator said before this week. Anyway, all that and more right after this.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mm.
Germany?
Mm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mm.
Or Mars? It, what about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's mmm to you. Lipton tea can do that.
Back on the ride again, 14 past the hour. We're going to truncate a few things as we roll through this thing today. Why? Because it is absolutely crazy day in the football league. Get caught on what's going on right now. With less than a minute to go, Cleveland and Dallas, the Browns clinging to a three-point lead. Dallas, you know, in their own territory on the 24-yard line, second down and six. Big, huge opportunity for Cleveland should they be able to pull this one out. Again, Brandon Weeden made some mistakes, but he's pulled his head out of the ground and got it together, and he's put Cleveland in position to actually get that win. Arizona had a lead, 19-16 over Atlanta, but now with less than a minute and a half to go, it's Atlanta with a four-point lead, 23-19. Green Bay is clinging to a 24-20 lead. They now have the ball. Looks like they're going to wind up. Oh, I spoke too soon. With 15 seconds left, the Lions now have the ball. Not sure exactly what's going on there. But Green Bay holds on to a 24-20 lead in that one. The Redskins just rolled the Eagles 31-6 today. I don't know what's going on with the overhaul in there. Carolina 13 right now over Tampa Bay. Jacksonville and Houston have gone apparently into overtime now. Jacksonville had a 14-point lead and let that slip away in the last 5 minutes of that game. Houston trying to hold on to be just one of the one-loss teams in football. New Orleans, Oakland just getting started in the afternoon games. Another early finisher, Cincinnati 28-6 over Kansas City. Matt Castle benched in that game for his ineffectiveness. The Jets 27-13 over St. Louis. Of course, this past Thursday, Buffalo 19-14 winner over Miami. All I can say is, wow, crazy, crazy day. Atlanta and Arizona have just gone final. Atlanta gets that win 23-19. Wow. Did you see this coming? Did you see Atlanta having to struggle with Arizona? Did you see Cleveland and Dallas like this? I don't think anyone saw it. We want to chime in if we can, get some of the audio, if we can, from Dallas-Cleveland through NFL Red Zone, see what we can find here. So what you're hearing are just the feeds from Green Bay, Detroit, and Dallas-Cleveland right now. So with 4 seconds left in Green Bay-Detroit, Packers up 24-20. Back to Cleveland and Dallas. Cleveland 27-17, under a minute to go in that game. So if you hear some feed, you know, we'll kind of chill and let this thing kind of roll. You're hearing the feed again from Dallas-Cleveland. It is 2017, under a minute to go. Romo's back to pass. Still back to pass, being rushed now, but he's flushed out of the pocket, throws. It is caught by Miles Austin. He is going to pass at the 50-yard line. One heck of a catch. Romo trying to march the Cowboys down for what would be a tying field goal. Dallas quickly to the line again. Inside Cleveland territory now to 49. Clock running. Under 30 seconds now. Romo, double pump. A double pump again. Now goes deep. And if that doesn't get a flag, that's going to get a flag. Actually, is looks like Ogletree was interfered with by Brown. That was Dwayne Harris, the wideout. I do apologize for that. That's going to get a flag, and Dallas will have a first down inside the 20, now inside the red zone, as they march down against Cleveland, and Harris is still down. And now a hush comes over the stadium. So there's your situation there. Fun things going on. Again, switch back to the Green Bay-Detroit game. The game does end. Detroit wins it. A Stafford pass to Calvin Johnson, who tried the lateral, goes from the Green Bay player's hand. Game ends. Green Bay 24, Detroit 20. That game is now over. Sorry, Chicago. You needed Detroit to win that to keep that separation. The Green Bay is still surging ahead with yet another win. So so now we're getting into overtime in Houston's game against Jacksonville. It has to be a bit of an embarrassing game for Houston because they're playing Jacksonville. I didn't stutter. That game is tied 34-34. Okay. Carolina, Tampa Bay, 21-13. Tampa Bay has the ball now. Freeman moving the team down the field. 38-yard line, Tampa Bay, but a hard hit on the Tampa Bay wide receiver. Looks like he's going to be down for a few minutes. He's hurt. That's going to be a blow to the head, and there goes the flag. So, fun stuff. Anyway, we roll on Fast Sports, 19 past the hour. So what exactly did the prognosticators say? What did they say about today's game and what it all meant today? Well, that would be courtesy of our guys at ESPN and their Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, which they do every week for us, and we certainly appreciate them. It is brought to you by Peak Antifreeze. When you peak, you win. And it is an ESPN Radio exclusive. Ladies and gentlemen, now again, this came from last week. So you can compare what you're going to hear to what's really going on. Let's see how those guys did. Check this out.
These are the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. An ESPN Radio exclusive.
I call it kicking off for week 11, and my motto this weekend is past is prologue.
It's long, long, it's big, it's heavy, it's wood. It's long, long,
Bill Belichick going up against Indianapolis and Peyton Manning was always one of the great matchups, and Belichick always had the best of it.
Yes!
Well, Bill Belichick going up against Andrew Luck may be the best matchup going on forward in the NFL, and while I love Luck, I love that kid like you wouldn't believe. Bill Belichick is going to have his number again. I know this isn't that same defense. I know Teddy Bruschi's not walking through that door. I know Mike Vrabel's not walking through that door. I know Richard Seymour's not walking through that door. But you know who else who isn't walking through that door?
May I have your name, please?
Robert Loggia.
Can you spell that for me?
Certainly. R as in Robert Loggia. O as in, oh my God, it's Robert Loggia.
Andrew Luck's not walking through the door in Foxborough this weekend. I'll take New England giving a big number. New England minus 9 at home over Luck and the Colts.
Hey, buddy, I'm not paying you to hear your thoughts on life.
Well, I have a microphone and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I have a motto this week as well. And it's back in the saddle again.
I'm back in the saddle again.
Welcome back, New Orleans Saints. Going out to Oakland, giving 4.5 points to the Raiders. New life for the Saints.
Freeze. Throws over the middle, wide open, Jimmy Graham to the goal line. Touchdown, Saints!
Drew Brees leading that offense. Defense, it's still bad.
You're horrible!
But they're scoring points again, and they're getting some life back in them again. So I'm going to take New Orleans on the road out in Oakland. Give the 4.5. Go ahead and do it.
That was your plan?
And then finally, a mathematical equation. When one team is good and the other team is bad, the good team plays the bad team, the good team wins, and they win big.
Pay attention to me. I'm trying to ruin you.
And that's what's going to happen here when San Diego goes to Denver. The Broncos are really good. Peyton Manning is really good. The Chargers are really bad.
We're losing.
Phillip Rivers suddenly is really bad.
They're burying us alive.
Norv Turner is hanging by a thread, and this actually could be the one that pushes him over the ledge.
You're ruining it.
Broncos giving 7.5. I like the Broncos to blow the Chargers out. Give me Denver by 17, and this could be it for those who finish their tweets with hashtag Fire North.
We've been reviewing your work. Quite frankly, it stinks. There's just no way that we could keep you on.
It could, or San Diego could answer the bell a little bit. While I do think Denver's going to win this game,
but I really don't care.
I'm going to take those 7.5 points. I think it's going to be a close divisional game.
Fine. More money for me.
Phillip Rivers can't be this bad and continue to be this bad. They have to show some life. So while I think San Diego goes to Denver, I don't think they get the win, but I think it's close. So give me those 7.5 points.
You guessed wrong.
You only think I guessed wrong. That's what's so funny. Ha ha, you fool. You fell victim to one of the classic blunders.
And those are your week 11. So go, Lance Fox.
Okay, let's put an end to this pathetic hoedown.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Back on the air, 37 left to go. That was the prognostication this past week from our boys at ESPN. Right or wrong? Let's take a gander at what's going on today in the National Football League. Cleveland and Dallas, with 2 seconds left in that game, Cleveland clinging to it. Up. Oh, I spoke too soon. That game, ladies and gentlemen, is now tied, 20-20. No one, and I mean absolutely no one, saw that coming. Cleveland 2020, that game's probably headed overtime, which takes us to our other overtime game. Yeah, this is going to look bad for the Texans. 34-34 against the 1-8 Jacksonville Jaguars. How do you let that happen if you're the Houston Texans at home? I don't know. But, however, this game looks like it could be winding down to a bit of a close. Texans on the Jacksonville 22, 2nd-and-3. In overtime, of course, I believe that it's still got to be a two-possession game, so I don't know if Jacksonville has possessed the ball or not, but that is the new rule, so we'll see exactly how that plays itself out. Game 31, 23-19, Arizona, he squeezes it out against Detroit 24-20. Eagles just lay down to the Skins 31-6. Carolina 21-13 over Tampa Bay. New Orleans is already up 7-0 on Oakland in a late game just getting started. Cincinnati has rolled KC 28-6. The Jets handled the St. Louis Rams 27-13. For those of you who were paying attention early on, Buffalo 19-14 over Miami on Thursday night. New England just getting started in the first quarter. Fun stuff there for those of you real true heads following the games. In the meantime, in between times, the football does roll on. I don't want to go back to college football, guys. Well, yeah, let's stick and stay. There's 35 left in the ride, and we can certainly talk plenty of National Football League For those of you that have NFL Red Zone, you might want to check that out. There's a lot of good things going on there. Tampa Bay has now made it a game late in the game, 21-19. Carolina holds on to a 2-point lead. If there is a 2-point conversion, that's something we definitely want to go to and take a look at. For those of you in Middle Earth, as I call Chicago, looking forward to tomorrow night's game with Cutler being out for the Bears. And it looks like Alex Smith may not go for the 49ers. So you'll have two quarterbacks, Jason Campbell and Colin Kaepernick, starting for respective teams. And we can certainly have a conversation about that situation and what it's going to mean, which team will fare better in that arena, which team currently has the better running game, the Niners or the Bears. And I'm sure there are plenty of people out there that will say Frank Gore is having a much better season right now than Matt Forte and Michael Bush combined. And Michael Bush, of course, doesn't fumble last week, then that, chances are things go a little differently in Chicago last week against the Texans. But hindsight's 2020. It doesn't mean anything right now. And certainly, as Bill Parcells says, you are what your record says you are. So all things being the same, the 49ers or the Bears. You figure that one out. Who has a better set of wide receivers, the Bears or the Niners? When you put it on paper, these teams almost come up to be dead heat. Everyone knows that the Niners defense is really, really strong, really, really good. The Bears are far no slouch either, ranked fourth in the league in overall defense. So Bears lead the league in takeaways, lead the league in the plus-minus category. So it should be a good game. It's going to come down to whether or not the mobility of Kaepernick can be neutralized by that Bears defense and or the accuracy of Jason Campbell, and is he willing to try to throw the ball down the field? If the Bears are willing to try to go vertical, you're going to have a nice game on your hand. If they are not, then it might be a long night for those of us who root for the boys in the black and orange. Again, Niners 6-2-1 coming off a tie, which I know they're pretty still embarrassed about. And you've got the whole Bears thing going on. Jason Campbell being your quarterback. So, yeah. Let's get to the preview. There is some simulations you all can look at on a variety of different websites that they'll tell you based on certain parameters which team is most likely to succeed. However, there's a big problem with that simulation. With no Cutler and no Alex Smith, you have a bunch of really, really unknowns in this game. Yes, Matt Forte is good. Yes, Frank Gore is good. Brandon Marshall is awesome. He's already got 904 yards, 7 touchdowns on 67 catches. Michael Crabtree is coming into his own with 44 catches and 510 yards, 4 touchdowns for the Niners. Who's going to catch more balls? Well, again, you've got both of these guys now working, both the quarterbacks now working with the ones. So we will see exactly how this plays out. Top teams in NFC, but, without their respective quarterbacks, comes out very to return to DK against the 49ers team that may end up starting Kaepernick. And again, there's still a bit of a question as to Alex Smith whether or not he can go or not. Frisco 6-2-1, Chicago 7-2, leading their divisions respectively and seem destined for the playoffs. And I think it's really interesting that the Bears would consider pulling Cutler out for this game, not concerned about the magnitude of the game, but concerned more about the magnitude of the season. The Bears believe Cutler's brain trauma came on a helmet hit by Tim Dobbins late in that first half. Dobbins was fined $30,000 for that hit. Chicago announced this past Friday that Cutler would not play. Of course, that means Jason Campbell's going to start. Of course, they brought in Jason Campbell just for a situation like this after last year's disaster when Cutler broke that right thumb in the Chargers game when the Bears were 7-3 and ultimately went 1-5 after he was hurt. We'll see. I don't know if possibly the Bears can keep Campbell upright, they've got a shot. If they cannot, for whatever reason, it's going to be a very, very long night in San Francisco. And the other question is, are we looking at another 13-6 game where the Bears defense does what it does, holds things down, and keeps within the realm of possibility, and the offense can't show up, which is, I think, for a Chicago Bears fan, your greatest fear. That truly is your greatest fear. You want the Bears to do well. You root for your boys feverishly. But if that offense doesn't show up against the Niners in any way, shape, or form, yeah, you're going to lose that game. And it'll be close. Don't misunderstand me. You might lose it 10-6 because the Niners don't do enough to really scare you. They don't bring enough to the table. The defense is great. They are. The Niners defense is as advertised. with the Niners offense, it doesn't scare you. You're not scared of the Niners offense. Frank Gore, you know, he's had some games against the Bears. Total 15 yards, 37 rushes over the last two meetings. He's had some success, and the Bears have proven to be susceptible to the run. Look at Arian Foster in the first half last week. They tighten up that run defense, then you're going to have a nice game. And again, the Bears give up yards between the 20s. That's always been their MO, always under Lovie Smith. So as good as the defense will be, it's not the 85 Bears defense where people come into that stadium and go, oh, my God, it's the 85 Bears defense. That, my friends, that is not happening. Okay. So that said, we look forward to tomorrow night's game. Now in overtime, Browns and Cowboys. Dallas has the ball first and 10 on their own 40. Looks like – okay, now let's see. How are we doing this? Because according to this, it's in overtime. The Texans have kicked a field goal. 37-34, 8-10 to go. Jackson must be getting the ball because the game certainly hasn't gone well yet. So – Houston's still not out of the woodworks, guys. I'd love to say they are, but with 8-10 to go in the fourth, this game is far from over. In the meantime, who'd you start in your fantasy league today? Now, you all know that 9 times out of 10 we give you all kinds of fantasy love. We're late to the party today because of the start of the show, but for the sake of just sampling, I'm not sure who you started, but we can certainly take a look and see exactly what the rankings came out to be today. So why don't we do that? What's going on? We got some technological issues here. No, we're good. Sort of. Maybe. Let's see how we handle this here. We can see the inactives, which is at this point is largely useless. Oh, we see the love hates. Where are my rankings for this week? Week 11 ranks. Here we go. Based on position. This is just one for the basketball. Yeah, you got to love this. For nothing more than it's just a lot of fun. Let's see. We normally go from defense and the back end toward the front. Today, let's go the different direction. Let's have a little fun with it. Only because we know we can. So, your quarterbacks today, when you were entering into the day, let's go to the top 10 all the way down. Number 10 today was Cam Newton, Carolina. Number 9, Carson Palmer in Oakland. Number 8, Andrew Luck, just getting started. Number 7, Robert Griffin as Washington rolled Philly. Matt Ryan, Matthew Stafford going up against Green Bay. Number 4, Peyton Manning, who everyone thinks is going to have a huge Tuesday. Number 3, Tom Brady. Number 2, Aaron Rodgers, who actually isn't 2. He's actually 1A. And number 1, Drew Brees, who's already thrown a touchdown pass against Oakland. So hopefully if you had them, you were smart enough and intelligent enough to start them. Okay? Let's take a look at your running backs. 33 past the hour. Fantasy focus. I guess that's what we should call a segment. Fantasy focus. To the running backs now. Top 10 down. Frank Gore, the Niners, going up against the Bears. Number 9, Matt Forte, going up against the Niners. Number 8, Trent Richardson, who's had a good day today. Alfred Morris, LeSean McCoy. Jamal Charles in Kansas City, who probably did not have such a good day. Number 4, Stephen Ridley. Number 3, Ray Rice. Number 2, Dougie Martin. And number 1, Arian Foster. And again, you love Arian Foster, the way they run that flex play. It's been powerful. It's been working for them all season long. Don't look for that to change anytime in the near future. To the wide receivers now. Yeah, we should be some segue music. I think I said this last year. When we do these rankings for fantasy, there should be some like wonderful segues between that segment. We've got to work on that. We talked about that for like a year and a half. This week, Brandon Marshall, the Bears, number 9, Julio Jones, number 8, Wes Welker, number 7, Denarius Moore in Oakland, number 6, Marcus Colston playing for the Saints, number 5, Roddy White, number 4, Demaryius Thomas in Denver, number 3, Reggie Wayne, number 2, A.J. Green, and number 1, Megatron himself, Calvin Johnson. That was your odds on pick. So hopefully if you had those guys, you played them. If you have a league that has tight ends, let's go your top 10 tight ends. Number 10, Jermaine Gresham in Cincinnati. Number 8, Vernon Davis. Heath Miller comes in next. Greg Olson, Owen Daniels, Antonio Gates, Jason Witten, Tony Gonzalez at number 3, Rob Gronkowski number 2, and as usual, when he's healthy and the Saints are playing, number 1 is Jimmy Graham. To your kickers. Top 10 kickers today, Sean Swism in Pittsburgh, number nine, Connor Barth, number nine, Greg Zuerlein, David Akers, Robbie Gold comes in at number six, number five, Jason Hansen, Justin Tucker at four, Sebastian Janikowski, three, Scott Kowski, two, Matt Blank at number one. And your defensive, now this ought to be really interesting. Based purely on the matchup, I'm sure this is going to be interesting because a lot of these top defenses, well, they're not playing top offenses. I think that has a lot to do with it. Anyway, here we go. Number 10 today, the Dallas Cowboys against Cleveland. Yeah, how's that working out for them? Number 9, the New York Jets, who really played well today. The Pittsburgh Steelers against Baltimore. The Cincinnati Bengals against Kansas City. Yeah, that one is true. The Atlanta Falcons gave up a lot to Arizona today, but they were ranked number 6 going in. Number 5, the Baltimore Ravens. Number 4, the Denver Broncos going up against San Diego. Number 3, the Niners against the Bears. Number 2, the Bears against the Niners. So 2 with Chicago, 3 San Francisco. Number 1 today, the Houston Texans. And that's not anywhere close to what really happened because they've given up a ton of points to the lowly 1-8 Jacksonville Jaguars. What does all this mean? Well, it means that Jacksonville has the ball, 3rd down and 10 on Houston 49 in overtime. They're down 3. And remember, the rules in the NFL overtime have changed. It's no longer sudden death. Both teams get to possess the football. 3rd and 10 from the 49. Well, that's an awfully long field goal to try to tie it. Well, strange things have happened. So I would love to see Jacksonville extend this game for nothing more than to, again, at this point, they've kind of proven the point that the Texans can be had. This game is in Texas. Talk about a letdown. You come off a tough win in Chicago against the Bears. You go home, you're playing a 1-8 Jacksonville team, and you give up 34 points, and you were actually in line to lose this game. You were down 14 with less than 5 minutes to go in that game. Whew, rough one for our boys in Houston. It is all over in, it's not. That is just the overtime refresh. 20-20 in overtime. Cleveland 2nd down and 10 on their own, 10 deep in their own territory, so that overtime will continue. Other scores going on right now. Of course, Tampa down at 21. They're in overtime. New Orleans with about under 5 minutes to go in the first, a 7-0 lead over Oakland. San Diego and Denver just getting started. India 7-0 lead over New England. We'll have to catch up on what's going on with that one as well. Let's chime in. Indianapolis and New England. Must have been a rushing play because I don't see a pass from Luck for the touchdown, but Colts lead that game 7-0, which is always interesting when you it's the Colts and Patriots. Even though Manning's not there again, Luck's going to start a whole new, hopefully he'll hold a whole new rivalry with the Patriots. That would be a lot of fun. 38 past the hour as we continue to roll on. Fastest 60 minutes in sports, 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. If you're watching a game, you're watching all these overtime games, we've said it so many times in the past few years, on any given Sunday, for you throw all the ranks and all the stats, talk stats the day after the Monday night game. But during the games, I tell you, especially with parity the way it is nowadays, a 1-8 team like a Jacksonville Jaguars can raise up and really push you, as they're doing right now to a Houston Texans. For Jacksonville, this is their Super Bowl. This is their playoff game. Okay, much like Carolina was against Chicago when they had the Bears down. This is their game. This is it. All right? Fun stuff. Hopefully you've got yourself glued to a TV set. You've got yourself something good to eat and something good to nibble on. And you're continuing to watch these things kind of unfold. So I don't know when was the last time you saw 3 overtime games going on at the same time. I see a red dot now on Jacksonville, Houston. Oh, my, big play. Jacksonville 2nd and 10 on the Houston 10. That's going to change some things. Jacksonville running the roost and possibly, if they get the end zone, a touchdown, Houston would lose to the 1-8 Jaguars. Are you serious? Oh, my. Let's see if we can chime back into NFL red zone and get some of the feed on what's going on. Texans and Jaguars. Houston has just called a timeout. That ball sitting right on the 10-yard line. And the quarterback for Jacksonville is Chad Henne. Oh, Michigan quarterback. We'll figure that one. And now highlights from Tampa Bay and Carolina. Games tied 21-21, also in overtime. Dougie Martin seemingly has suddenly developed the habit of dropping the ball or putting the ball on the ground. Back to Cleveland-Dallas now in overtime. That game 20-20 with 9 minutes to go, clock running. this many overtime games in the league speaks to the parity. You know, Dan Bailey now starting to warm up as Dallas is getting in position to hopefully try what I believe would be a game-winning field goal, since both teams have indeed possessed the ball. I don't know any NFL fan saw this coming, and I warned you guys about this week not going to the betting windows, because this one just looked kind of weird, kind of wary. You just really weren't sure, you know, what this was going to be this weekend, and, well, here you go. Chad Henne has the Jacksonville Jaguars down, second down and goal from the 10. All he's trying to do is align the ball. Okay, so is he not trying to score? Okay, that's odd. You're second and goal from the 10. A touchdown would win the game, and all he did was kind of center the ball. And Tampa Bay has just scored against Carolina in that overtime game, but I don't know. That's Dallas Clark catching that pass from Josh Freeman. I don't know if that is that game. At least we'll find out here in just a second, because there is a massive celebration now by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the end zone. I'm curious, though. I'm stunned by the Jacksonville play, the ball, as if to settle in for what would be a tying field goal. Somehow, and that's... Well, they still got to tag the second down and goal, guys. So I'm just kind of keeping you up to date on what's going on. For those of you that can hear me, maybe you can't follow that game, maybe for whatever reason. It is 37-34, Houston Texans, overtime. This is the Jacksonville possession. Again, it's second down and goal. They need a field goal to extend the overtime, and a touchdown will win it. And it looks like you've got a false start by the left tackle of Jacksonville. That's going to back them up 5 yards. Going to be a crazy, crazy finish. That false start. They're already obviously in position to tie the game. We'll keep you updated on that one as we roll forward. 42 past the hour. A lot of fun. That is, yeah, Tampa Bay now, that is the final. Tampa Bay with that touchdown wins up Carolina 27-1. That one in the books. Carolina continues to struggle to finish games. Wow. Second down and 15 for the Jaguars from the 15. I'm a bit flabbergasted. This these last 2 days with the college game and the pro game being this tight, this wound. No one saw Cleveland taking Dallas to overtime. Certainly no one saw Tampa Bay and Carolina going to overtime. We didn't see Jacksonville certainly not taking Houston to overtime. No one saw that coming. Okay, we didn't see Arizona putting pressure like that on Atlanta and almost squeezing that one out, because at one point, with less than a couple minutes to go, it was 19-16 Arizona. Detroit had Green Bay down. Yeah. Update for you, New Orleans has just scored again against Oakland. Looks like the Saints have found their swag again, as they're starting to roll offensively against just about anybody right now. That is the one team in New Orleans that nobody wants to play right now. Yes, the defense is porous, but if your offense can't put up points against just a general defense, Drew Brees is going to show you how to put points on the board. Marcus Colston, Lance Moore, they're playing literally unconscionable. Jimmy Graham is a beast. That New Orleans program is awfully, awfully strong. They have found their swag again. And, again, after a really, really rough start, have ripped off quite a few wins. Jacksonville has just tied that game now, 37-37 against Houston. I'm still a little perturbed at – why they wouldn't have gone for the touchdown to win the game. Maybe they were afraid, didn't want Chad Henne to throw the football. The man's thrown 4 touchdown passes and passed for over 354 yards in the game. So I'm not quite sure I get that one. Maybe they're looking for the Jag defense to stop the Texans and maybe to eke it out by the field goal. But that game continues on now with 4 minutes and 21 seconds left in the overtime. Now high. Wow. A story just posted, Falcons rally past Cardinals despite Matt Ryan's 5 picks. It's kind of hard to win when you throw 5 picks, ladies and gentlemen. It is. 44 past the hour. All NFL show today. There was a UFC match we could certainly talk about. George St. Pierre wins a unanimous decision over Condit. And, of course, now all the talk for the UFC fans is St. Pierre versus Silva. Both those guys have been incredibly successful. Silva is the light heavyweight champion, I believe. I'm sorry, James Jones is the light heavyweight champion. But that, I guess that's the match everyone wants to see, George St. Pierre versus Silva. Well, if it happens, great. If it doesn't, I don't know that you're going to lose any sleep over it. Anyway, for those of you, as we fill a little bit of window here, as we wait for some of these updates, fresh on college football, number one, Alabama now rolls right back up to number two. See how I did that? Alabama roll tide. See how that works? Rolls back into number two, courtesy of Kansas State's, you know, literal lay down and just punt, and courtesy of the Oregon Ducks just not playing Oregon Duck football. I give Stanford credit. 17-14, they get it done. I can't remember the last time the Ducks only scored 14 points. That offense is certainly much better than that. But that's why the game is settled on the field and not necessarily in conversations around water coolers. So Dallas and Cleveland back in the NFL, still 20-20, 8:08 left to go. Clock now running in Jacksonville, Houston, 37-37, under 4 minutes, 30 seconds left in overtime. Houston has the ball, first and 10 from their own 20. San Diego takes a 7-0 lead over Peyton Manning and the Colts with 4:23 left in that game. I'm sorry. England now tied, 7-7. Looks like hopefully we'll have that whole Brady and Andrew Luck show. Looks like Brady has already thrown for 74 yards and a touchdown. The Gronker was on the receiving end of that, you know, 56 yards receiving with the one touchdown pass. So, again, fun days. Hopefully you're watching the Indy New England game, because those used to be some really, really awesome games. Looks like that tradition is going to continue. A quick look into Jacksonville-Houston. Matt Schaub throws the out pattern to Andre Johnson, who's now bumped out of bounds. Marching down the field now, just inside the Jacksonville 50-yard line on their side of the field. A lot of Houston fans just holding their hands together as if they're really – they have to be stunned that they're having to work this hard against this team. Dallas now inside the 30. Again, a field goal is the game. Next score will win the game. So Brown's trying to put, you know, hats on the ball right now, trying to knock the ball loose. But Dallas certainly in position to kick a field goal and win that game. Now back to the, again, Houston-Jacksonville look-in. First and 10. Schaub, a nice out pattern. No one looked for the ball. That ball is picked off. Oh, my goodness. Houston is in serious trouble now. Serious trouble. Jacksonville has the ball on the Houston 47-yard line. Matt Schaub's pick. His wide receiver did not turn around and look for the ball. The cornerback simply did, found the ball, picks it off. Well, while it looks like Dallas may eke out this 20-20 win, you know, 20-20 game, this current tie in overtime, what does this mean if Houston goes down? What does that mean? With 3 minutes and 25 seconds left in the overtime, Jacksonville is in the catbird seat. The next point wins this game. Oh, my goodness. Absolutely did not see that coming. How many of you are yelling at the screen right now, with whatever game you're watching? You've got to be yelling at somebody's screen right now. This is absolutely a crazy. I can only imagine ESPN's football crew later on just going, ape over these games. You know what I wanted to say, but couldn't. Absolutely going nuts over the games that are, number one, in overtime, number two, this tight. So how does a team with this much talent, as Jacksonville playing out of its mind today, be 1-8? They're playing a team that is 8-1 that just came off a tough game. I mean, there is the epitome of the letdown, and then there's this. This is bad. Yeah, Houston pulling a rabbit out of its head, getting the 14 points in the last 4 minutes, that's fine, that's great. But they're not going to get it done, it doesn't look like. They are not going to get it done. Absolute shock. So now Brady James and that Texans defense is going to have to find a way to stop, obviously, a renewed Chad Henne and Jacksonville offense. Let's see if we can chime in a little bit, see if we can get a little of the audio from this thing. 49 past the hour. Let's see what we got.
54 yards and 4 touchdowns. 3rd and 10.
Henne. Incomplete. LaRon. So Henne throws an incomplete pass to LaRon Robinson.
Timeout in overtime in Dallas. Dan Bailey, all warmed
Now they're looking to Dallas. This is NFL Red Zone. You're hearing NFL Red Zone right now, if you can pick up that audio.
For the first time this season, if it comes down to his leg, but it's first and 10, it's still plenty of time left to go. The full offensive playbook available for Dallas. The Jags, fourth and 10.
So Dallas lining the ball up on the right hash on the play. Fourth and 10 for the Jaguars. They're going for it. Okay, I am not exactly sure what we just saw, but Jacksonville went for it on fourth and 10 in overtime. 2.5 minutes left in overtime. Ball basically at midfield. I am really not exactly sure what Jacksonville is doing other than just hitting Texas back. But back to Dallas, Cleveland. Danny Bailey set up to win this game. Snap back. Ball's down. Bailey's kick is up, and it is good. And Dallas will survive Cleveland 23-20 in what has been an absolute fun and crazy day. It's got to stink if you're a Cleveland fan. You put your hearts out for all the 90,000-plus fans there. Cleveland is getting better, going to be a good program within the next year or so. Great stuff. Great stuff. So Dallas gets the win 23-20. Back to Jacksonville, Houston. 2 minutes left to go in overtime. 2 minutes. I don't know that it was wise for Jacksonville to give the ball back. Second down to 5 now on the Jacksonville 48, that close to midfield. I think I might have punted and put my defense back in a better position. But again, it's like that, never mind. Something has just happened because the Texans have suddenly won this game on one massively big play. Let's go back to the red zone and see exactly what may have gone on. Let's see the Texans celebrating. Something big has just occurred. Let's chime in. So a wide receiver screen, one good block, and Andre Johnson takes it down the sideline, and the Texans save face and beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 43-37. Shab to Johnson, 48 yards, gets it done. Texans go to 9-1, and the Jags go to 1-9, but I think they may have found something with Chad Henne. 4 touchdowns, over 350 yards passing. Just an awesome effort, again, for Jacksonville. That was indeed their Super Bowl. Colts and Patriots are having a nice little fun time. 7-7 right now in that game. Patriots seeming to have some issues trying to stop the Colts running. And that goes to the end zone, and that looks like a touchdown, and the Colts will now go up. If that holds up, it'll be 14-7 Indianapolis over the New England Patriots. Luck looking like the first-round pick he should be. So, Cowboys finally get it done. Houston gets it done. You know, the sad thing is these are the teams that were supposed to win these games anyway. They weren't supposed to be this close. They weren't supposed to be this tight. 7 minutes. 7 minutes to go in the ride, the fastest 60 minutes in sports. It's been an all-NFL experience. It's been an absolute crazy day. Crazy day. Yet the teams you anticipated to win are indeed pulling them out. There have been no shocks yet, with the exception of the scores. If you were playing the point spread, I told you once, I'll tell you again, this was not the day to play because none of the favorites have covered today. None. Dallas didn't cover. Houston certainly didn't cover. New Orleans might, but that game's still early on. 14 minutes left in the second quarter. We'll see what happens. The Skins just rolled the Eagles today. Tampa Bay 27-21 over Carolina. Maybe they covered. Maybe. The Sunday night affair, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, should be a really, really good game. There are enough injuries on both sides of it to still make that game really, really competitive. Can Flacco have another solid week of 300-plus yards passing and a couple of touchdowns? Or who's going to be the Pittsburgh quarterback? Let's take a look and see what information we've got on that game tonight as well. Again, 5 left in the ride. Of course, as always, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Much love to all of the people all around this wonderful United States of America and in Canada. For those who celebrated birthdays over the weekend, happy birthday to you. For those of you traveling to the U.S. for Thanksgiving next Thursday, happy holidays to you. We look forward to seeing you all next week. We'll be back in the United States later on this week. Looking forward to spending some time, some downtime, and some friends and loved ones. And yes, we get ready for yours truly's big birthday bash, December the 7th, out there in the south suburbs at Denalfo's. Hopefully those of you who've been invited got your invite. And if you didn't, you might want to hit me up on Facebook, BenLove1207. Find me there. If you want to just hit the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports page, it's also on Facebook as well. Or you can look at the Vincent Imaging page for all of our professional photographers and all the sporting events that they do as well. We love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. To my family, Leona, Vanessa, Charles, Christian, all around the world, Corey, and if anyone I've forgotten, even the grandkids, the great grandkids, the pseudo kids, Faye and the baby Steven, everybody, as we love to say. I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Three minutes to go. I've already bragged about you enough. Much love to those of you still struggling to try to find your way in this crazy thing known as life. Remember, life in and of itself is not yours to give or to take, but that dash between two gates on that headstone, that's you right now. If you can hear my voice, that's you, and the quality of life is your responsibility. It's a quality of your life. It really is your choices, your responsibility. So enjoy it. Enjoy it and indubitably, as we used to say back in the day. My brother JC loved the world, and all he ever wanted to do was see people smile. Today's show dedicated to him. I love you, brother. I miss you. I miss you wholeheartedly. To my brother Rich, you got to tell me what happened to our Ducks, man. You got to tell me what happened to the Ducks whenever you get a chance. Send me a text message, send me a tweet, whatever. Tell me what the heck went wrong with the Oregon Ducks against Stanford. In the meantime, we broadcast here on Blog Talk Radio every single week. We look forward to seeing you all next week, as usual, in the same time. Well, maybe not the same time slot, because the time slot has been bumped around a lot only because of other responsibilities that we have to do in order to make all this stuff happen. Sometimes you just have to simply play the game and play it well. We thank our friends at the NFL, the NFL Red Zone. Thank our friends over at ESPN.com for their support and all their help. Again, find us on Facebook at the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. And keep following Vinny Moore, yours truly, as often as you want to, either on Facebook and on Twitter. All kinds of fun stuff. We're going to have some fun updates as we get closer and closer to yours truly turning 50 years of age. I don't feel 50, which is really kind of cool. It's really kind of cool. I tell you all, I saw the thing on Facebook the committee wrote that he's turning 50 and he acts like he's 25. That is absolutely true. Absolutely true. But that's going to do it this week, ladies and gentlemen. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And we will see you next time only, and as always, on the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. Vinny Moore saying peace, love hard, try hard, and you know what? You won't have to be so hard. Take care. See you next week.